Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 53, episode 3 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist for Wednesday, October 17th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O'B, Jack O'B, Jack O'B, Jack O'B. Jack, no, just joking. That is courtesy of fellow parent Aisha Sisse, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles speaks the truth, staying fresh, staying cool, with Zeitgeist fresh and full of Miles.
And Zeitgeist is the fresh maker. I would sing the whole thing, but I didn't know how to improv the rest. That is from Sort of Profound. So shout out to you, because that was Sort of Profound, not just a clever name, like the shitty Beatles.
Speaking of the shitty Beatles, I had the Beach Boys song Kokomo stuck in my head all morning because I listened to the latest Punch Up the Jam, which is a great podcast and a great episode of podcast that's got Gabrus on it. It's a really good one, but they did Kokomo, and holy shit, you guys, that song is really bad. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian Nick Vetera.
I have something to confess. I wrote Kokomo.
Oh, oh shit. This is...
Hey, it wasn't that bad.
So awful.
I mean, I was 5 when I wrote it, so cut me some slack.
Cut me some fucking slack. I'm in the booth.
I think for a 5-year-old, Kokomo is pretty
good. Yeah, it's... I mean, yeah.
For a 5-year-old. For some reason, when I was growing up, I thought it was tropical cake melting in your hand. And that is fucking stupid.
Wait, what?
Tropical
what
cake
that?
Is not a thing.
Tropical
It's
cake.
Tropical drinks melting in your hand.
But what part of the song...
Bodies in the sand... tropical copical
cockroaches
tropical cake.
I was at a karaoke last night and I realized that it's raining men, not it's Raymond.
Oh really?
Which changes the song.
You thought it was just a
it's Raymond. Hallelujah. Raymond. It's Raymond. Like this guy Raymond's like, "I'm here everybody."
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, this is completely different."
had it all wrong.
But anyways, I think our AKAs both got some annoying songs stuck in people's heads. So
what? There's more annoying songs than "It's Raining Men" and "Kokomo"?
And "Kokomo" and "Baby Shark," do 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 do, and "Mentos" song.
Did not know about "Baby Shark" until 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, me neither.
You didn't know "Baby Shark"?
I know. People
don't know.
We're gonna take my parent card away.
It's like a kids song. But then younger people than me, who are like adults now, were saying, "Oh, I knew that as a kid."
Right.
But I missed that. We had a "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot."
Miles is very old. All right, Nick, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to take you guys through what we're talking about today. We're going to remind you what the goal of the show is. We're trying to tell you what the nation is thinking and talking about today, taking a dive into America's and sometimes the rest of the world's shared unconscious using the headlines, box office reports, what's trending on Google and social media. Today, we're going to start with a Google Trend search skim, and then we're going to do a quick culture war report. Ooh. Actually, not a very quick one, because the right is very fragile, and they want the left to attack them. They need that story to happen, and so they are creating the headlines, even without the reality of those headlines. So we're going to talk about that and the possibility of a second civil war. And we're going to talk about Mike Pompeo's face during his meetings in Saudi Arabia, because it's very friendly and pleased
very
and
smiley.
Happy to be there. We're going to talk about Lindsey Graham's comments on Fox and Friends. And finally, we have figured out how to make Miles give a fuck about climate change.
We'll see, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't care? You're not in?
Apparently, beer.
I like the hot weather.
Beer could double in price.
What?
Because of global warming.
Wait, what the fuck do you say?
Yeah. So Miles is hot. He's heated.
All right, maybe
about
I'll believe
that.
It now.
Beer's doubling because of the sunspots.
Nick, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are? Lets us get to know you a little better.
I don't know if it's revealing or not. I just. What kind of bug is this? Was my last. I feel that comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
What kind of bug is this?
Kind of spider.
What is this bug bite from?
Yes.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. What was the bug? What was? Walk me through this. What'd you see?
The recently is my mom sent me a picture of a bug. Usually it's a bug I find.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, my mom sent me a picture of the bug. So I'm looking up what sort of bug it is.
So. Breaking news over the weekend, some shit that my wife found on the internet, so it has to be true, says that Los Angeles, going forward, one of the great things about Los Angeles's climate, if you haven't been here, is that there aren't a lot of mosquitoes, and that's about to change because there's a new strain of mosquito that is like very pale. You can't see them, but they bite the shit out of your legs.
And they thrive in dry climates
or
something?
Yeah, I guess they thrive
Fuck
in dry
off.
Climates. And also our weather is changing. Yeah, so... The mosquitoes are coming.
I'm one of those people
Angelinos.
Who, if you hang out with me, you won't get bit by mosquitoes because they're all biting me.
Right? Yeah, you got
like
you got whatever that blood type
yeah.
is. There is a documented record of the type of blood type that mosquitoes prefer. And my
the
wife
only thing
has
that works is there is like a natural one I figured out in Africa that worked pretty well. That was like a lemony one.
Oh, really?
And also, yeah. But before that, I was using like military grade DEET.
Yeah.
That was corrosive to plastic. And I remember the first time I had it, like it was like back when iPods were a thing. I sprayed it near me, and my screen was all like fucked up.
Oh, really?
And it was all the droplets of DEET had just like ate up the plastic on the screen.
Wow.
I was like, oh, well, this probably works then.
Yeah.
It's fucking corrosive to plastic. Right. It's like, fine.
Old tumor legs gray, as we call them.
But the mosquitoes are gone.
Hey, you used to just call them cankles.
Miles is usually glowing in the dark at any... After sundown.
You know, another search history thing that kills me is that, like, I'll put in, like, Earth Wide How.
Right, very, very basic.
Like, I don't even put in real sentences anymore. I just vomit the gist of what I wanted to ask.
And what was it? Earth
Wide?
Me and my roommate were trying to figure out the circumference of the Earth because, you know, we're about to sail.
Right.
And and I think I go, let me ask Siri or whatever, and I... search history to go Earth Wide How, and he got so mad at me.
like
that's how you're asking the internet. And you know what? I got my answer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So. Like, so who really lost? They're like, but you had the wherewithal to articulate the circumference of the Earth prior to Googling it. That you just go Earth How Wide
Wide How
How though
Why How When
Wind.
Earth-wide wind.
Right.
How much earth is there around?
Yeah, I do speak to my search engines and write to my search engines like they have some sort of deficiency.
Oh, I do the Ask Jeeves type thing, full on sentence.
Full
sentence. Like specifically what I need to know. Like,
good sir.
Yeah. Good day to you.
Good sir. How do you make a lasagna casserole, sir?
I will posit this query to you.
Just a lot of preamble.
Yeah, exactly. I'll posit this query. This query to you. Earth-wide how?
Dear Google,
I hope the zeros and ones are finding you fancy today.
That's like when I ran a website, one of the top Google search trends would be www.thenameofthewebsite.com. It's just like, there's that. But it was a shrinking part of the populace as all the old people died off.
Yeah.
That is funny when you start typing something in and you get that, like, it fills in.
Right.
And you're just like, wow, a lot of the world's real sad. Because yeah. You start typing, you'll be like, why? And then it fills in, should I go on?
Yeah.
Right. Or like, oh, God.
Why is this bug bite bleeding so much?
Yeah. The questions that fill in around pregnancy are crazy and very depressing because it's like,
and filled with misspellings.
Right.
Am I pregnant?
How do baby get made?
Am I pregnant?
How get out baby?
Right.
When baby go out? Do go face down when baby go out?
Nick, what is something you think is overrated?
I think avocado.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I'm tired of it. I'm just, it was fun for a minute. It was cool when it was just guacamole. I'll be honest. Avocado, it's the Chrissy Teigen of food.
Wow.
It's just a little.
What does that mean?
It's just. Hey, it means. Hey, I like it. All right, I don't need it in everything.
Right. That's good.
Avocados.
You know,
there was like some new debate about whether or not it's vegan or some shit. I couldn't understand why.
How would it not be vegan?
I just saw a headline where there was like debate about whether or not it's vegan.
Well,
like
they're
some
tree
people
eggs.
Believe they don't. Yeah, right. So
they're eggs out of a tree.
Right. I mean, I can hear them screaming when I cut them open, but that's just me, right? Well,
those might be the voices.
Those are rabbits, I keep telling you. Fruits.
It's in everything, and I think for a while it was guacamole. That's great, you know?
Yeah.
And then it just became... Now everything I get, first of all, obviously they have to mine it from the soul of the earth because, you know, they got to charge an extra $5 if you want it.
Yes.
On anything. So it's obvious. Cut it out of my salad. Cut it out of my taco. Listen, it's a luxury I can't afford at this point.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
It should be a special occasion. And now it's starting to feel, it's starting to feel like, you know how people don't like oysters? That slimy.
I love oysters.
Right.
Yeah.
I love oysters.
Yeah, yeah, but people don't. Yeah.
But people don't because it's starting to feel like a slimy green thing I'm putting in my mouth.
Wow. Right.
It's getting a snot sort of
the
feel.
Snot. The sea is blowing its nose into your mouth.
That is the perfect. That was their original branding slogan.
Oysters.
Didn't take, yeah.
Have the sea sneeze in your mouth. I think the reason they're arguing about it being vegan or not is because it requires migratory beekeeping, some of them. Like a fruit that requires migratory beekeeping. Is that vegan friendly? Because we're not exploiting the bees for their work.
Vegans, chill the fuck out.
That's a step too far for me.
Oh, yeah. Now it's 7 degrees of eating bacon. That's what all the vegan stuff is now.
And avocado, like, based spreads. It's like, I don't want a spread on my sandwich that renders it impossible to save for a later meal because it's going to turn brown and gross.
Sure.
Yeah, apparently, it's instantly brown.
Yeah,
the second it's made, I don't know if it was evergreen sometimes.
You're always coming across half avocados that have just browned.
Yeah.
I think if you leave the pit in, though, that helps. You know what I mean? If you cut it in half.
If you put the pit over the brown part.
Yeah, just rub the pit on the brown part.
I have a kale question. Here's my kale, because I'm buying kale now. Do you guys throw it away when you get home, or do you wait 6 weeks? Because I've been waiting 6 weeks.
Yeah. Purchasing it.
Yeah. I throw it away on my way out of the grocery store. So I buy it, and then as I leave, I'm like, peace. Never going to use this.
Yeah, save some time.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
I don't have room in my refrigerator, and I don't know why I bought it, because I don't like kale.
Yeah.
But someone looked at me and saw I wanted to look healthy. I'm like, yeah, kale, love it.
Oh yeah. Just the idea of like I'm a kale guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not bleeding all the time.
Yeah, from these bug bites.
You know? From these bug bites. Why do I have them?
Google.
Should I start sleeping inside?
I think we talked about the fact that the top purchaser of kale prior to this kale boom was Pizza Hut, and they were buying it for garnish for their pizza buffet. That was the only reason.
Oh, yeah. Sat on that ice. Yes. It sat on crushed ice.
Yeah, it sat on crushed ice, and it was the garnish that people used to throw away.
Oh, shit.
That was kale.
I have the strongest sense memory now of looking at a buffet and always being like, what the fuck is this nasty-looking lettuce?
Yeah.
Look like trash. Cut to me, like, juicing it.
Right.
And fucking worshiping it.
That sounds like a Disney movie.
Right.
Of, like, the kale, and it's always just the garnish.
Ignored,
you're not good enough to eat.
Yeah.
One day, all the stars will eat me.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly.
The pizza
the
is like, we're fucking delicious, man. You suck.
Delicious pizza.
Yeah. Nobody's ever going to eat you.
It makes Pizza Hut pizza look that much better.
Right.
You have to put it next to kale.
Right.
For you to be like, this
to
is
be
good.
Like, well, that looks more edible. What is something you think is underrated?
This was interesting. I probably could have come up with a better one, but I think pinball is an underrated
thing.
Whoa, you know?
I think
pinball is very, I think it's more fun than most things. It's more fun than traffic or surgery or like staring at the sun.
Right.
I think the fact that every bar doesn't have a pinball machine is a crime to me. I hate that if you're in an awful conversation at a bar, you either need to like take up smoking or like you can either like, go, I'm gonna grab a smoke, or, you know, and then, or you chug a beer and be like, well, I'm gonna get another beer now.
Right.
Sometimes if you have a full beer, it's a little obvious. You're like, I'm empty.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, man, you going through some stuff, man? You want to talk? No, I don't need to talk. I need another beer.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
I'm just sick of hearing about your yard or whatever dumb conversation you're having. But pinball, you're like, you know what? I'm going to grab some pinball. And most people are like, okay,
later.
1950s, Tommy, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's great. You put the money in and you plunge it, you instantly get 5 million points the second you put it in. I mean, that is great for your confidence.
Gratifying.
It's very gratifying. It's a pretty fun game.
Did you just play pinball recently that woke you up to this? Or were you in a terrible bar situation and said, I wish there was a fucking pinball machine?
I often wish there was a pinball. I was on a pinball league in New York.
Oh, okay.
I actually love it. I think and people are like, well, what? It doesn't even do anything.
Yeah.
I talk to weird people.
Yeah.
They talk like, I don't know. Maybe they're drowning and that's why they talk to me.
Right.
Help me.
Yeah. Like, sorry,
why
man, I
you
can't.
Shut up about pinball.
You're the
why don't we get another beer?
Is there a machine you like?
You know, Adam's Family is
Yo, people, I was just about to ask, did you fuck with Adam's Family Machine?
The Adam's Family is pretty great.
Yeah, that's
pretty
a great one.
Midway's one of the last. I don't even know if Midway's around anymore. Midway also made like Mortal Kombat and some of those things. Stern.
Toasty!
Man.
Sopranos.
Chicago.
Fuck with the Sopranos pinball.
Sopranos is really good.
Yeah.
Where's the freaking money? all like the sound bites. Yeah. Way to go, thing. Way to lend a hand. I always love the sound bites from the Addams Family. And you know, and pinball is like, you know what it is? It's sort of like basketball where you got to hit your shots.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also like darts where you have to like close out this one and then close out that one. And there's a certain order to it and stuff. And that's how you know, when I first started playing, it's just like, well, this is just ridiculous.
Right.
You know, but then you feel like you can nudge it and kind of like set up tee up shots and hit things. Addams Family is such a fun game. And
I grew up, the 7-Eleven by my house as a kid had that one in there.
Yeah.
And then it was a Doctor Who pinball machine. At the time, didn't know it was I didn't watch Doctor Who. I'm like, this is weird. And then when it switched to Addams Family, I was at that 7-Eleven all day.
Yeah.
Also selling drugs outside of it. But, but I was also there playing. They were like, go talk to the kid over by the Addams Family.
So was Street Fighter 2 there?
Yeah, Street Fighter 2 was also there, yep.
I remember there was like and maybe it's our generation, just, you know, 7-Eleven had
video
games
in there, yeah.
You know, and I remember we used to spend, there was definitely at least one summer where it was spent playing Street Fighter 2 at 7-Eleven like every day.
Every day.
Yeah. 7 to 11. Is that what that means?
Yeah. He would always come out. He's like, all right, guys, it's 10:58. You know what that means.
Scram.
And finally, what's a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
This one kills me, but the conspiracy theory of putting fluoride in water to make the public docile.
Right.
That just annoys the hell out of me.
Right.
Because if they really, and by the way, oh yeah, I always get docile and domicile mixed up.
No, you got it right this time.
I meant to say domicile.
They're trying to make us domicile.
Yeah, they want to make you into a house, yeah, like a small enclave of where you live. And I don't think I use enclave right. But I think it kills me because they always say they put fluoride in water to make us just sort of subdued and everything.
Right.
Then why is marijuana illegal? It makes no sense at all. If you really wanted to keep a public, down, then you legalize marijuana. If you want to kill, because every single argument I ever hear by a conspiracy theorist about why they put fluoride in the water, it's always like they're just listing what marijuana does. Right. It's like, no, they want to do it so your inhibitions are curbed and your motivation is sort of rolled back. And that's just then to make marijuana make money off the marijuana, because they're not making money off fluoride. If this really,
tell that to Big Fluoride.
Yeah.
Fucking raking in
companies.
The dough. This sounds like an interesting bar you hang out with.
I know.
You got a lot of conspiracy theories. People talk shit about pinball. You're like, yo, I need another fucking beer.
Yeah, man. I talk to fluoride guys. That's why I want to go play pinball all the time.
Yeah, but I think the real way, if you want to make a population docile and subdue them, is systematically, dismantle the education system and shit like that they're already doing.
Right. So much stuff
they figured out.
Just don't fund education.
Put Betsy DeVos in the head of everything.
Hey, we need anti-bear guns.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zy Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. the I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back, and it's
that
time
was a long
for,
break. I 7 years passed.
Yes,
I don't know.
It's been a while.
A few minutes to you. Yeah.
Good to see you guys
fast.
Again.
Yeah, beard. We all have very long mouth
yeah,
beards.
Very
which
long,
is
exactly.
Great.
Mine still looks very wispy.
It's time for a Google trend search.
Mm-hmm.
So, Amy Winehouse was trending in the past couple of days.
Oh no! Did something happen to her?
Oh, in a way,
I'm her biggest.
Oh boy!
Oh man, have you not looked news. In the news in 8 years?
No,
seven
no,
years?
No. I don't have a TV.
Okay, so, how do we put this? She died.
Oh no! But yeah. She went to rehab.
But she's been resurrected.
But hey, yeah, like even yesterday, the Lord taketh, but the Lord giveth back.
Right, God, because they are doing a hologram tour with Amy Winehouse. She's going to be performing as a hologram from beyond the grave after dying at age 27, 27 club yeah. from alcohol poisoning.
She was a 27 one?
Yeah. It's. I thought this shit would happen a lot sooner. After the Tupac hologram, I was like, well, yeah. It's a wrap. Now you're going to see Mozart in concert or some
right.
shit or fucking Jimi Hendrix. But I think it's the companies that were like, that own the technology just did not know how to sell it properly. No. I know in Hollywood, there is that theater yeah. where you can go see, like, I think Billie Holiday.
Right.
Like, gets up for a couple sets every night.
By the time the Tupac hologram show happened,
right.
the company that like did all the R&D to make it possible had declared bankruptcy.
Oh,
wow.
So like it was just the infrastructure for special effects for the special effects industry is just not friendly to those businesses.
Sure.
And so like, you know, the same thing happened to the people who did the special effects for Life of Pi, like when that won the Oscar,
uh-huh.
like they were out of business almost.
Wow.
So yeah, that it's weird because you'll see these like kind of leaps forward in special effects and then it'll just kind of recede because the company goes out of business and you lose all that institutional learning.
Ooh.
Well, how much is it getting the rights from the estate?
I'm sure there's some.
You know, well, her dad is behind it, so he's completely been like, let's do this.
I never saw the documentary. He's like a pivotal part in that, right?
I haven't seen the documentary either.
I thought like, I don't know if he was a good guy or a bad guy or something like that. That would be just, it's just so weird, just the idea of like, you know, in a post-mortem world, having a hologram of you still performing.
Right.
Who knows what? Like what?
Yeah, exactly.
Like what, as a comedian, what jokes are they going to, you know?
Sure, yeah.
You know, is there a version of yourself where you're just like, so anyway, I'm at Starbucks the other
right,
day,
right,
and
exactly.
I give them my name, and they're like, I would never do that joke, you know?
Like pissed from
I mean,
hell.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't really, like, Amy Winehouse is, like, her thing was her voice. It
yeah.
was not necessarily, like, her performance, but maybe she was really magnetic. I'm actually not that familiar with like,
sadly the only live performances I was really familiar with were the ones where she was like really in bad shape
right.
because people were like yikes
right
but I just know as a voice yeah she's like a powerhouse singer
right
so but apparently the way this show is going to be it's going to be very theatrical with like a live band and
that's
real
cool.
life singers backing her up
right but like I feel like when they do the Michael Jackson tour with the hologram that's going to be the shit.
Good luck getting everybody to sign off
right,
on that
right.
one.
Well, they did, you know, and I guess this isn't like too different from the animatronic stuff. There was a grassroots a band of animals, bears, that passed away, and then Chuck E. Cheese, Showbiz
yeah.
Pizza,
yeah.
did a sort of a tribute to the band where they did
yeah.
animatronic.
Yeah,
but only one of like, the bears. They changed them in all kinds of other deformed creatures. I can't.
Right.
Ugh.
What else was it? I know
it was
the
like
bear.
A bird. There was like a weird
yeah.
Italian caricature pizza guy. It was a wacky looking group.
Yeah. And they had that urban rural beef with the country bears from
yeah.
Disneyland.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They ever settle that?
Yeah. Well, one of the country bears, I think, I clapped up.
Yeah.
And he was shot tragically in Las Vegas.
So speaking of Tupac. People trying to make someone to go to rehab and that person saying no, 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 Tara Reid was at the top of Google trend searches yesterday in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Conversely, I thought she died a long time ago.
Right. So she's still out here. That's kind of the remarkable thing is she has been on a decade straight of being on a bender. Like, it's almost impressive the fact that it's just like she's kind of keeping that ball in the air. but she's it's also a sign of like not having good people around her.
Yeah, she's like if Kanye is struggling with his mental health, Tara Reid is struggling with substances, and no one gives a fuck because she's getting Sharknado gigs.
Right, she's getting that.
There
Sharknado
was an interview she did like a month or two ago for like the latest Sharknado film, and she was a mess.
Yeah, she was.
And like in no way should she have even been remotely out there in the public talking to promote a film. And you could just tell, like clearly somebody has to drive her to the thing, book the thing, get her there, get her in makeup, and they go, yeah, that's fine. This is okay to have her out there. And it's just, like as it goes on, and then that video of her getting escorted off with her dog, you're like, oh man, like somebody please.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Help this young woman.
Isn't it a little old Hollywood though? Isn't it a little refreshing?
Right.
Like those
Judy Garland.
Yeah.
out here.
Yeah. It's like I always hear these stories of like these old grizzled actors just, got up and drank their breakfast and went.
Oh
and
yeah.
Did,
Well, that was the thing. I mean, there was a time in Hollywood when like you hear about the old timey presidents just having wild affairs like in the Oval Office, like while the press
old-timey?
Is like basically up until the 70s. up until the
70s. With how aggressive it was. Yeah.
And that actually, the media used to leave like movie stars alone. There's all these crazy stories from like golden era Hollywood where like Humphrey Bogart just like passed out in people's houses, like near a party that he had been to, and then like woke up and like ate breakfast with them. And they were just like, yeah, he was a nice dude. Yeah. He was still drinking and he was hammered. But
hey, he paid to have the couch he pissed replaced.
Right, exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think you're right that it is, she's honoring a, long forgotten tradition.
Yeah, we need
with
a
none
little
of the benefits,
right?
And just predatory management. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
man. I don't know. I, I think I saw a picture of her. She seems to be more Tupperware than human. She's plastic.
And I don't know if it's her. It's a combination of that and her health. But she, there's something missing.
I hate that part of that's the part of Hollywood I hate. This plastic surgery to me, it's this really sad thing where people feel like they need to look a certain way, and I feel like people never look better when they have plastic surgery. They just look like they had plastic surgery.
Yeah, no, it's never subtle. Except for that one time Demi Moore came back out of the shadows and was just like, I'm 30 again. And we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because normally, like, there's a look to certain, like, plastic surgery procedures where you're like, oh, yeah, y'all look like you're from the same planet.
Yeah, I think it's a sampling error, actually, where we notice the really bad plastic surgery, but there are also the people who...
The Demi Moores.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who just make it look so good that you never notice it. Like, Tom Cruise can't look like he looks right now, but it doesn't seem like he's
got plastic
surgery.
Is that what you tell yourself every night?
He can't.
He's cheating.
It's impossible.
He's cheating.
He looks like there's like a small monkey on his back, like with his hands, with his paws
holding
on his cheek.
Yeah,
just pulling his cheeks back. And
yeah, maybe.
He always backs out of a room.
Right. Don't
good
let him
day.
See the monkey.
You never seen Tom Cruise's back in a movie. I'm just saying.
So there was another name trending yesterday that I was not familiar with, Christian Carino. And this is a older gentleman who Lady Gaga is now engaged to. He has a kid with Brooke Walden, the CNN newscaster, and he's a talent agent for Harry Styles, Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, Simon Cowell. So she basically, for anybody who's seen A Star Is Born, she married the evil British dude from A Star Is Born. Like the talent agent who fucks everything up. That's who she
married. Do they meet on set?
I don't know. It's a good question where they met.
But... Well, you know, I mean, now that we live in the world where, you know, Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande are in love and are going to be together forever. It just gives us so much hope. I wake up. I had a trouble getting up out of bed for a long time, but I was like, there is love.
If these two
can do it.
Nick, again, I hate to ask this. When was the last time you looked at any news again? You said years.
I had a Zenith television.
Somehow you found out Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande were together, though.
Well, yeah, I walk around Manhattan. I see them holding hands.
With my ear to the streets? well, they also broke up.
No!
My God, he just jumped out a window. Yeah.
Oh, if they
and he's back.
And he flew back.
Chance to any of us have.
that is the question. Bad. And my son looked at a picture of Pete Davidson on my phone when it was texted to me, and I started weeping that they had broken up. And he said, "Dada." So
that was
cool.
If anyone wants to adopt a kid,
he was pointing to Ariana Grande actually. So that was even weirder.
I like the idea though. But he looks over at you. You have the wild Ariana Grande ponytail.
Top knot? Yeah, I'm always rocking a top knot at home.
That's my weekend look.
And then Nathan Fillion was trending because America fucking loves that dude.
Who is he?
Well,
he's,
that's what's...
He's
you know,
Castle, bro. He's yeah. Castle.
Well, he's... I mean, it's funny. What? I mean, it's Firefly first, right?
Yeah, Firefly, then Castle.
But I don't know. The world is... It's funny because the world is teaching our parents who he is.
Yes. Right.
Because when he was in... First of all, he's the guy from Castle.
Yes.
That's all he is. Yeah. And then for diehard Serenity Firefly fans, sure. You know, they love him and they sort of built this, like, thing with him off of that. And now it's like... It's always funny where it's like, what is his name? Nathan
Fillion.
Fillion. And then it's like all the billboards like, Nathan Fillion is back. And it's yeah. like, right. he was here before? Who
right.
is he?
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion?
He has a new show on ABC, I think, called The Rookie, in which he plays an old guy who is a new cop. And
wow.
All the stories that he's trending off of are like, this show is not what you'd expect after his work on Castle. Which, if you're not familiar with Castle,
then you're everybody.
Right. It was basically like a modern day Matlock slash, you know, Murder, She Wrote.
He was an author that followed a...
he was a crime author who solved murders.
Oh, because his imagination was so cool. He'd
right.
be like, I could probably figure this out.
Yep.
Yeah. Here's I would have wrote it like this. Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's also, clearly a writer who thought they could be a fucking detective.
Oh, for
and
sure.
then was like, here's this show. It's a writer who's so fucking smart and sees the Matrix
right.
that he helps solve fucking crimes.
All right. We've got to check in with the Culture War Report. We are Culture War reporters and enough fun. Motherfuckers.
Oh, enough fun.
It's time.
Can't we just go one day?
Nah, we cannot. We have to, I want to pay attention to what the right is saying because, you know, the left is holding itself to this standard. Like I saw a Vox article that was like, guys, stop writing clickbait headlines about a second American Civil War. But like the right is actively trying to start the second American Civil War. Like,
well, they really have to get people thinking that like, all of the progressives are frothing at the pants.
Right.
To just start fucking blowing shit up or something.
Yeah. I think we have a clip of Tucker Carlson. This is more just the right being fragile.
No,
as
we don't. We don't have a clip of that.
Oh, we don't.
Yeah, like I would have had to listen to the whole fucking podcast to get the clip.
He's mad that everyone yells at him when he goes out to eat, and he recently, I think we played a clip where he was talking about how the left is engaging in violence against the right, and the person was like, that's not violence if they yell at you in public. And he's like, well, it's a kind of violence.
It feels very aggressive. What he said, he was on the National Review's podcast and was just sort of like, you know, just lamenting. He's like, his quote was, I can't really go to a lot of restaurants anymore because I get yelled at. I mean, I don't feel threatened, but having someone scream, fuck you at a restaurant, it just wrecks your meal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what also wrecks your meal? When people go on national television and tell millions of people that there's no point of diversity in this country.
Yeah, right. Sure. Or you have people on your show that are like, let's rip little babies away from their parents and make five-year-olds sign their rights away because they know how they understand contracts.
Yeah. No, he's actively a purveyor of white supremacist propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
And deserves also, they start, all the yelling that he gets.
They started the I don't love the kicking the people out of the restaurants and stuff, but like they started it with the cake shit. You know,
right.
I mean, like once they started being like, I just drove me crazy when they, you know, like, well, we're not going to serve people in the Denver cake shop or the Indiana cake shop. It's always cake shops. I don't know why. But
right.
Like,
yeah.
But then they were like Sarah Sanders and the Red Hen or whatever. And it's just like, how dare you not let, it's like, you got like, you know, you got like hardware stores in Tennessee that say no, not serving, you know, if you're gay, get out. It's
right.
Like, you guys started this like not serving people thing.
Right.
That we, yeah. I thought we were done after civil rights happened.
Yeah.
And right. It's like, yeah, we're at least kicking you out because you're an asshole.
Right.
You know, like as opposed to just because of how you were born.
Yeah. Like I can point to a whole litany of things that like most people don't agree with this shit and it feels like an attack on them when you talk versus like your hair is fucking curly.
Right. Yeah.
And I need you to go.
Yeah, it is you specifically that is being discriminated against. That's
right.
Called personal, like personally not liking somebody.
Yeah.
There's also a news story yesterday about how the Trump dating app leaked a bunch of the users' data. But it's just worth noting there is a Trump dating app, so
God.
You know yeah. they feel victimized because people are not wanting to have sex with them.
The unfuckables.
So they are creating their own dating app, and surprise, surprise, it is not wildly secure or well built. But so here's how
hemorrhaging your personal information.
But I want to talk about how that is being like it's going into the black box of the conservative media mind, and how it's coming out is they're trying to create this media universe where the left has declared a physical violent war on the right. Last week during Hurricane Michael, the only non-hurricane red trending story on the front page of Drudge was cops. Man planned to blow self up in D.C. over, quote, country's direction, which makes you think, okay, this is like an anti-Trump guy who was going to, you know, do a suicide bombing because he didn't like what Trump was doing. When you click through, you find out he's not a left-wing person who's mad at Trump. He's a mentally ill person who wanted to institute a form of government where they appoint leaders at random. It's an ancient election system called sortition.
Is like the fucking giver or something?
Right. Yeah, it's very, very strange. There's also a trend of headlines where basically, conservative columnists are starting to believe in magic again.
Well, that was wild, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought the Satanic Panic was behind us, but it seems like it's making a comeback. The Satanic Panic is this trend in the 80s when Americans thought that satanic cults were kidnapping and killing babies.
Like on Halloween and shit?
Yeah, lots of people got arrested. There's the story of the West Memphis Three where three children were brutally murdered, and they basically blamed local goth kids for it because they like had long hair and wore black, and they were like, yeah, they're witches, they go to these witch masses and do all this crazy shit. And eventually they were cleared of all charges, but that was after spending most of their life in jail.
Oh god.
And that happened a lot in the 80s. So, you know, America has the ability to just go off in a weird direction, and now we have a witch hexing event in New York City, where a Facebook group is planning to gather women and tongue-in-cheek hex Brett Kavanaugh and all sexual abusers. And
I think
the
patriarchy. They were legit trying to put a hex on, and that's
right,
you know,
right?
Because they're trying to pull up for the vulnerable. And if you got to hex them, do what you got to do. That happened over the weekend,
right?
Yeah,
right. Okay,
is that
helping? Actually happened.
I mean, is that
no? But
helping?
That's what's weird is like. For these people, clearly that's their way of feeling that they can somehow contribute to like stem evil. As you know, obviously I don't know what the science behind it is exactly.
I'm sure it's rock solid.
Yeah, for sure. But I guess what the thing is, it's clearly, you know, as we see it, we're like, okay, sure. But the right then immediately takes that and goes, you see, they're evil fucking witches who are trying to curse Brett Kavanaugh, and who knows what could happen to him. And it's just like, it's really odd because then even in the articles are like, in Judaism and Christianity, witches are an evil, demonic thing. And you're like, what are you trying to rally people around exactly?
Right,
yeah.
So there's also unicorns in the Bible. And I mean, like, it's all like, it's all such nonsense. And I don't know if
witch stuff. Those are just, I don't know.
But they didn't, it's important to note, they didn't like put it out there as like a press release to all media. We are doing a witch hexing event. This was a small Facebook group that the right actively sought out and made into a news story. That it was just like a private like party that somebody was putting together because these women were feeling like they were getting fucked over.
You know,
because they were.
I don't love going out and putting hexes on people. I don't love kicking Tucker Carlson out of restaurants and stuff. I think a huge problem right now is that right now the only thing you can do is vote. And so and that's what everyone says. It's
sure,
like, vote.
Right.
But you know what? Voting is one day a year.
Yeah.
Right.
And the rest of the year, people are just frustrated and they don't know what to do. So they're putting together witch groups. They're kicking Carlson out of because like people are just so frustrated.
Well, yeah, but I think what the other thing to note is like a lot of these actions, like I feel like, you know, honestly, if you see someone who is working for DHS and is, you know, enacting these really fucked up policies of family separation or whatever, that you can voice your disagreement with them. I think that's important because most of these people are operating in an environment where they think this is okay. And what the right has done, and I was listening to Eddie Glaude, who's a Princeton professor, he was saying that what the right has done is really interesting because what they've done is weaponized the progressives' moral outrage at their responses to these things. So they're saying, oh, why are you getting upset about family separation and getting in people's faces? No, see, now we're the victim only because people are standing up to show their decency or to at least stand up for something and draw a line in the ground. And then the way they're flipping it to an actually effective way, apparently, is to then turn it into this is violence. This is an attack against us. They're unhinged. And that's where, like, I think we're having to figure out how do we break that sort of rhetorical cycle of where our outrage or people standing up for what is good or decent isn't being spun into these people are violent and they're trying to kill people when it's a lot of people just really trying to voice their concerns.
Right.
And when you look at the actual things of like issues, instances of violence, that's mostly exclusively occurring on the right.
So you see like, I want to put together a montage of the right being violent. Because you know how they made a video like earlier this year where they're like, the left is violent. And there's all these like cherry picked moments.
Yeah.
And I was like, I could cherry pick the same things with the conservatives.
You wouldn't have to cherry pick. Yeah.
Yeah. But you got like, so you have like the women that like confronted Jeff Flake at the elevator and how powerful that was.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't try to kick him out of the elevator.
Right.
They went in and they were emotional and passionate and they voiced their thing and it was sort of it prolonged the inevitable, but at least it felt like something in that moment. And I think when you like go in and kick Ted Cruz out of an Italian restaurant in DC, I think it's much more powerful to instead of like getting out your phones, you know, like what is it Richard Branson is getting a star on the Walk of Fame today. We were on the way here and everyone just got their phones out and they were just videotaping this whole thing. I think it would have been much more powerful because, you know, that they kicked him out. They went in. They wouldn't let him eat. The guys kept yelling at him. He left. Then they got kicked out.
Right.
And then Ted Cruz came right back in. He missed soup. You know, that was about all that really happened with him. And I think if they would have, like, just sat down and been like, all right, we're going to join you for dinner and we're going to talk to you about this thing right now.
Right.
Rather than
shouting him down.
But that's not going to happen, though.
It would be he would have looked more like the dick than them in that case then. Because it would have gone from them being – because I think when they're like, fuck you, get out of here, that's the ammo the right uses against liberals. And if they would have sat down and – okay, so like there's that guy over the weekend, the senator who grabbed the cell phone out of the kid's hand when he was asking him about voting in Georgia. Is it Georgia? You know, like, you know – voter suppression thing.
Yeah,
this senator looked like a dick because the guy asked him a legitimate, nice question, and the senator looked like a dick.
Right.
As opposed to if that kid would have gone out and been like, fuck you for doing this.
Right.
Then the kid would have looked like a dick.
I think that's a valid point.
I think if you can have those interactions, you can voice your opinion. The right, God, you know, they're using it as ammo.
Well, that's the thing is the only reason that people are having to rethink what you would normally do of just voicing your disagreement or disappointment in someone is that they're just – it's all about optics. And it's just that the fact that they're – then they cut these super cuts together and be like, you see what's going on. But realistically, these – like what they're saying is valid. Like people have to realize – you know, some society has to inform people sometimes what the fucking boundaries are, what the guardrails are. And we've gone so far that I think these people, they're trying to be like, yo – We don't like racism. We don't like this like this intense xenophobia at the expense of children and things like that. And yeah, it's hard to look at something like that where what they're doing is actually so violent to these people that it can't just be. I mean, I think it is important to have actual discourse around these things because there's no way we're just going to scream at each other and solve anything.
Right.
But I think if these people are frustrated and they're not being actually violent, they're not putting their hands on people and causing them harm, that's just something that's going to happen because for if you're an activist and you're saying this shit, I don't know. This is just how they're expressing themselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is tough because then it's like a catch-22. Then you're on film and then you're in a supercut and then it's just furthering the hey, the left is unhinged thing when it's more should be the right is doing pure evil and look at how they're all these people are upset by it.
It's the right is so every day there's a new white woman screaming at, you know, some minority of like, or there was a guy, there was summer who was just like screaming at like some, you know, was it, I forget where they were from, but you know, just get out of my country and shit like that. Like that is so unhinged. That is so violent. Threatening people to get the hell out. Like, no one else is. Every day there's like a new video of white people screaming at someone. That is unhinged to me.
The last one was Corner Store Caroline.
Yeah.
Which was the woman in Bush or Flatbush who said like the young black kid touched her butt or something, groped her and called the cops. And then they looked at the video as his backpack that like touched her. It was like a real narrow aisle.
That was bad.
Yeah, and that's like the kind of, but yeah, like you said, those, it's every day. Like, it's like, or the other dude who was babysitting for his white friend, and someone was like, I think this black man has these white kids.
I don't know if she was on the right, though.
What do you mean? No, not even that it's the right.
She was
a
conservative.
But that mentality, like, that's someone who may act woke or whatever, but clearly you have some other shit underneath that you need to work out. Well, and that's just a gentrifier in the neighborhood and being like, what the fuck? No, I didn't gentrify this neighborhood so I can be around people I'm not like.
But I mean, they've already created the idea of mob rule, and we'll talk after the break a little bit about how it doesn't really matter what the left does because they are going to create this story anyways.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun.
The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back. And so, talking about how the right is dealing with the left's moral outrage, I'm subscribed to the Breitbart mailing list, which is
cool
demoralizing
shirt,
and soul-withering most of the time. But it's also interesting to just kind of get some insight into how they're talking about the news. And a recent email had the headline, "The Classic Defense Against Mob Rule." And you clicked through and it linked to a doormat that says, "This house protected by the Second Amendment."
Oh, Jesus.
So they're talking about shooting people on the left, but it's all implicit.
Wow.
And
yeah, they're so violent, man.
Yeah. So how Fox News is using this is they were recently reporting on Antifa attacking the GOP with swords when Antifa was protesting an appearance by Gavin McGinnis and the Proud Boys on TV. And it turned out, when people looked into it, that the footage they had that said Antifa attacks, so like you can, we'll link off to the image. It's Fox News story saying Antifa attacks again, swords and vandalism at New York GOP office. And they have footage of a white guy holding up a sword. That was Gavin McGinnis. That was the dude from the right holding up a sword. And they just like told the story as though the person on the right was the violent person on the left. They're just changing it to, you know,
well, they
make
need,
it
yeah.
seem like they're under attack. And it doesn't really matter what happens. Fox News is going to. And then somebody pointed that out. And they, a day later, that same story was at the top of their like website. So yeah. they didn't
on Breitbart or Fox?
On Fox. So
well, and even along with that story too, like after that, after he did some real fucking whack reenactment of a Japanese socialist being assassinated by a far right Japanese activist like from the 60s or something with a sword.
Yeah.
The fuck. Anyway, fuck that guy. There was like of like these fights broke out outside the Republican Club because the Republicans are now like full on embracing the Proud Boys, I guess, with this move. And there's like the assaults were caught on video. The NYPD dragged their fucking feet so bad. The only arrests they made that night were of counter protesters, first of all. And then the governor Cuomo had to come in and be like, okay, we're going to launch an investigation into this because NYPD was not, they're just really inactive. Like, and just seemed like they couldn't care less about it. And then you come to find, you know, Gavin McGinnis was also bragging the next day. He's like, well, you know, I have a lot of friends in the police department, NYPD, like they, you know, a lot of people there like what I do or whatever. And, you know, that's the other dimension of these stories, too, because there was a story that came out yesterday about how when the Patriot Prayer Group, which is another far right organization, had a an event in Portland, there were naturally counter protesters showed up that the police like confronted a group of these Patriot Prayer guys who were like on a rooftop near the counter protesters, like sitting on like a weapon, like a cache of weapons.
Right.
And they no one was arrested. And they said everyone had licenses. So they took the guns away and they were later retrieved or whatever. So I'm not like I'm not here to say that, oh, these guys were like waiting to try and like snipe people from a rooftop. But the fact that that story, like the police sat on it for that long to not even tell people like what was going on with these other groups. It just adds fuel to the fire also of separating how people are looking at police and being like, okay, so a lot of the times, especially even at that Patriot Prayer rally, a guy got shot in the head. I don't know if you remember that photo. The guy got hit in the head with like a flashbang that was like launched at him and like busted open his skull.
Ugh.
And
that dude was a protester?
Yeah, he was a counter-protester.
Right.
And it seemed like a bulk of the injuries were happening to the counter-protesters, and the you know the police were almost going out of their way to like give as much leeway to the far-right people as possible.
Right, which is what it seemed like was happening in Charlottesville back at the Unite the Right rally. This is why I worry about a second American Civil War. I don't think it's going to come just as a result of some bullshit Fox News story, but those stories are certainly priming the engine should something big occur. And, you know, for an example of something big that could occur. Like, just imagine any scenario where Trump is either impeached or loses an election.
Right.
He's not going to, like, accept that. He's going to, you know, ask people to go to the streets and fight and, you know, like, support him. He's not the type of person who's just going to be like, well, the people have spoken.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly.
Could you imagine?
Well, Robert Mueller, huh? I guess he found me out. Hey, when I'm caught, guys. Right. What can I say?
But I don't think people on the left are taking it as seriously as, I agree that, like, shouting people down is probably not the most effective way to deal with it. But I do think people should be aware, and we should stop getting, like, Vox stories about, like, clickbait headlines. Because, I mean, you have a president, so the commander-in-chief of the military, who has talked about, like, you know, how much he admires dictators and their use of force to stay in power. And you have police that already show signs of, like, supporting the right wing and, you know, the far right. Like, the left is not in a strong position. The left has the mainstream media, basically, and that's it.
I mean, there's sort of the left. There's been, like, call in the past few months to no longer be nice and to sort of, like, take these, like, you know, big, bold, play dirty, angry sort of mentality. It's very, I think right now we have a huge problem in our country on both sides that you can't criticize anything of a group without everybody in that group taking it personally.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're criticizing the police or finding maybe one aspect of the Me Too movement that you sort of have an issue with without everybody in Me Too being offended or every police officer being offended or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you come out and you say, hey, quit killing, you know, black kids, cops.
Right.
And then cops hear that. And they go, oh, so you think all cops, all cops are sort of, you know, bad. It's like, that's not what I said. And it's like, well, that's what I heard.
Right.
And so now all cops sort of see these guys with the cachet on the roof and they're like, identify with these people. Because that's why I always think it's funny when people are like, Second Amendment, these people are going to come knocking on my door and taking my guns. Who exactly you think is going to do that?
Yeah.
Right.
The cops? The cops are all on your side.
Yes.
Right.
The military? They're all on your side.
Yes.
You know, like, the liberals are the ones that need, you know, like,
some
stock
guy
up.
With some guy with dreads and a didgeridoo.
Hey, man. So, honey, it's Barack Obama. He's here to take your guns. Tell him I'll be right down.
Tell him to fuck off. it's a very interesting time. And, yeah, I think that's another thing, too. Like, no one really believes in those kind of absolutes or whatever. And it sucks, too, because there are police, like, who are clearly also trying to expose shit in their own departments and then are getting, like, repercussions because they're – you know, some police departments are very entrenched in their ways. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's one of those things where we see like these examples shown over and over, and it begins to just tinge people's perceptions of these groups. And yeah, I guess that's the thing, is how, at what point are we really going to try and, like, have these conversations and be like, hold on, like, do you guys really think that by, like, expanding Medicare and, like, getting everyone on health insurance or, like, equal rights for people, like, that translates into us wanting to shoot you or something?
Right.
Because we're not, like, people who are looking to make progress aren't saying, well, we got to do it even if it means, like, lobbing some heads off or something. It's like, no, this benefits fucking everybody.
Right. We're concerned about the health of the people in the country. Just speaking of not believing in absolutes, I meant to get into, so there was an article by Rod Dreher where he talked about, like, the new Archie Sabrina show and connected it to cattle mutilation. This was talked about on a recent reading series on Chapo Trap House, and then connected it to the wife of his friend who is being treated by an exorcist, and was like, look, the left is out of control and there is a war being fought for, like, the soul of the nation, essentially. And meanwhile, Trump has started calling his political opponents evil, which I just think it's very dangerous. I'm not saying, like, the left should go out and commit acts of violence. I'm saying the opposite of that, but I think they need to be aware that this is what's happening on the right.
Right. Or how they're trying to, you know, inoculate their listeners, viewers, followers, supporters to view people on the left.
Yeah.
I think people are so much more on the same page. That's the biggest tragedy of like all of it.
Yeah.
Is that like I think most people think most cops are good. I think most people are against racism. I think most people are for the Me Too movement. I think most people are sort of all on the same page with all this stuff. And then
it's the labels has everyone fucked up.
Yeah. It's like the labels, they take criticism the wrong way. They just, one of the biggest things that just annoys the hell out of me is that, like, you know, and we kind of keep talking about like the snowflake aspect of the right. That kills me.
That they call left.
That they are so like snowflakey. Like, I tweeted a thing this past week of just like, oh, how much longer until Kanye does a country album?
Right.
Kanye Twitty, I think would be his country name. And then somebody, and it might, who knows, might have been a Russian bot or whatever, but they were like, what are you insinuating? You know, like, it was just like, I don't know, insinuating that, like, I don't know, life is fleeting and we make jokes about incongruities in life and it's a joke. I don't care.
What do you think about country music?
It's like, you dissing country music or Kanye? I'm trying to figure out how to get mad because I don't know. It's like I talked about, like, I got off Facebook because it was the conservatives that were offended at every joke I did.
Right.
They were so, I do a joke and then, what is it? I think Morgan Murphy who had a joke that was just like, before Twitter, I didn't know my jokes had answers. You know, it's just so funny. Like, and that's what Facebook was. It was like, I did a joke, and then like I was talking about, I just made a joke about gun owners, you know, and then and you know, and I'm like, I think people can have, if people want guns, they don't have any sort of issues of violence in their past, go for it,
right?
You know,
right.
I'm still gonna make fun of gun owners because I think it's hilarious how upset they get. Now I've become them. They do jokes because they just know how much it riles up the left, and they do jokes specifically to piss them off. Why can't I do that? You know, I do that about gun owners, and I make a joke about gun owners, and they just lose their mind. They get so offended.
Yeah.
They just can't even, like, they are the people that say, we live in 2PC of a world. Mm-hmm. And I just love that, like, their version of 2PC is, why can't I make fun of minorities, gays, women?
Right.
Oh, why can't I make a joke about anything? You make one joke about Trump or gun owners, and they are the most, like, you can't say that. Like, you're just exactly what
the
you're mad about.
The hypocrisy is insane. Yeah. That's why it's like, oh, man, like, how could Jay-Z use bad language? And then, you know, Kanye West is in the Oval Office being like, I'm a crazy motherfucker, and, like, saying all of this wild shit. And then everyone goes, but, you know, Kanye, we love his free thinking. But Taylor Swift? You need to shut the fuck up about who you're voting for. Like,
exactly.
It's really like, how do you want it exactly?
Yeah, he goes on SNL like, oh, so liberals can't deal with somebody to have a different opinion.
Yeah,
and then they're like trying to like, I just edited together a video of like that thing where he goes in front of, it was 2 days before the election.
Mm-hmm.
He railed on Jay-Z for lyrics in a song.
Right.
That were obscene. And it's funny because he goes on this thing, and at the very end he goes, and that just shows the hypocrisy and of politicians and how and it's like he's making fun of the hypocrisy and the shallowness of politicians, and he's doing exactly Jay-Z singing lyrics at a concert versus Kanye in the Oval Office. And then he's sitting there and he goes, he's a smart cookie. He's amazing. That was amazing what he did. Smart cookie.
Smart cookie. Jesus.
He's talking about his niece or something.
Yeah. Speaking of the right's version of humor being like insulting people who aren't white males, I guess, is like their version of, you know, sticking it to the PC libs. We did have one joke, I guess, that we wanted to get to.
Well, yeah.
Ooh, I mean, jokes.
Lindsey Graham apparently was too racist for Eva Fox the other morning when the whole DNA thing came up, and then he had a real interesting take up. He said, oh, I bet I'm more Cherokee than, you know, Elizabeth Warren or whatever.
Right.
So then later on, like as the show was ending, he left him with this one.
He told me he was getting better. yes. All I mean, he's like having so much fun doing it. He's rocking it. Keep it up. All right. Keep it up, Donald.
Lindsey Graham, thank you very much. Come back in a couple of weeks and we'll take a look.
We'll find out who you really are.
I'll probably be Iranian. That'd be like terrible.
Oh, they're great people, just bad leaders.
Yeah, bad leaders.
All right.
I'm not in the Ayatollah brand.
So
he said this was a joke that he's going to take a DNA test and he's probably more
Iranian. Well, yeah. And then he was like, I'll probably be Iranian. Ugh.
That'd be terrible.
And then Homeboy had to be like, even he had to check and be like, well, they're fine people, just the leaders. You don't agree with. Yeah. Even on Fox and Friends, dude had to pull up and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Producer Anna Hosnier, you...
When Fox and Friends yes. sort of like
PC checks you,
PC yeah. checking you. That's some.
You love that joke, right, Anna?
Hi. First of all, it's Iranian, you dirty piece of shit, Lindsay. Also, I'd like to say, what's worse than being associated with Lindsey Graham as a quote unquote Iranian, I think would be if it actually turned out that he had Iranian in him, because his face looks like a pig's asshole. And that's all I want to say. Fuck you, Lindsey Graham. Don't you ever say the word Iranian again, motherfucker. You're a dumb piece of shit. Thank you. That's all I had to say.
All right. Drop the bomb on that one.
Woo! Super producer Anna Hosnia did do 23andMe on ethnically ambiguous. And
you're what, 3% Lindsey Graham, right?
Yeah, 3% Lindsey Graham, 97% Iranian.
I am looking to get into the Trump cabinet. Yeah. So, you know, just doing my work here.
He might be the Secretary of Defense if you believe everything you write or people are writing out there about him.
It's so weird that it is sort of like these, like, racist, these prejudicial things. It sort of used to be you kept them in the back of your head.
Yeah.
And you never let them out of the front of your face.
That would be terrible.
And now it's like, because Lindsey Graham did this, like, he used to, like, challenge Trump. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he did. No, something changed over the...
Something changed.
He over the summer, there was a very clear change where he suddenly didn't know how to criticize a single thing he did. Yeah. And if it was very light, and it was just a soundbite so it could be printed with a headline so he didn't look totally evil. But all of his actions have been like, hey, whatever you need me to do.
Right. So, like, that... thing, the Iranian, you know, am I saying it right?
Iranian
comment stays in his crawl. It doesn't come out pre-summer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because he has the decency to at least not be indecent in public. And then now it's just like, well, if I want to get into the cabinet or get the UN spot or the secretary or whatever the hell
he's Trumpanese.
Yeah. It's just like, let it out. It's just so, and it's weird. Like, I mean, the whole, I don't know where you guys are at on the whole, like, midterms of, like, you know, of what you guys think is going to happen and everything, but it does sort of seem like the campaigning right now is just like conservatives are running just on I'm like Trump.
Yeah,
it's not an issue based election. It's just like I am the most, and they're trying to be as Trump as possible.
Yeah, and it's cringy when some people you can tell like that's not really their character, and they have to say, and you're like, you sound like a fake ass racist.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Like,
you're not even believable. Like I can see your soul dies. You said that shit.
You sound like low energy Jeb Bush. Yeah, you don't sound like Donald Trump,
like,
homie.
Nothing worse than some low energy racism. Like, you're just doing it for the clicks.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we probably should just, I don't know if we wanted to play that ad, just because I think that is one dimension of this campaign, is just about trying to fuel the flames of, hey, well, you don't vote for a liberal because they are violent and fucking scary and want to kill us all. And this is a video that the GOP, the party itself, put out recently, and it sounds like a fucking trailer for Inception or some shit.
When they go low, we kick them.
And if you see anybody in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be. Cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
Get up and please get up in the face of some Congress people.
Is this the quote unquote mob?
Well, you know what? I'm conservative now. They've talked me into
it. They sound scary.
I mean, I can't go. I mean, could you imagine going to a drum circle? You'll get your ass kicked.
And someone saying, hey, hey, ho, ho.
Donald Trump has got to go. You know what they mean by he's got to go. We're not going to have time to get to Mike Pompeo's trip to Saudi Arabia. Unfortunately, let's just say it is more smiley than we were hoping for. We thought that maybe the Trump administration was going to make it real.
Ha!
for the kingdom. And also, new pronunciation alert. We are calling Jamal
Khashoggi.
Khashoggi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Khashoggi.
Yeah, we were Khashoggi.
I was saying it like it was a fucking sandwich from Chicago.
Hey, let me get a couple Khashoggis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you get the sweet peppers or the hot peppers? Yeah. I get the hot peppers.
Right. But yeah, now hearing, I had to go to, because then someone else this morning it's turned into Khashoggi. And I was like, that doesn't fully sound right. And then I got the proper pronunciation.
NPR was calling Khashoggi. Which just mixing it all up. But Khashoggi. As you were saying, Miles, we could just call him
Khashoggi, the one who put the satin on your panties.
Oh, I was talking about just calling him my man Jamal.
Oh, I was going with the Shock G reference from I Get Around, also the Tupac really good song.
So wait, so Trump, the guy who calls the press the enemy, is not doing everything he can
about a journalist who was living in the U.S.
But
he's not a citizen, so
right.
And he worked for the place he calls the enemy and doesn't give a shit that he's going.
Yeah, and also it was funny that I think it was in a speech. It might have been in the 60 Minutes interview. He was like, "You're going to be surprised to hear me say this, but I think it's bad that they killed a reporter. There's something extra bad about killing reporters. The fact that he had to be like, you're going to be surprised to hear me say this is like, for real?
That line was probably tattooed on his forearm. Right. They're like, you have to say it like this.
You know what kills me about Trump? Trump will like, he'll be in the Oval Office and he'll be like, you know, like, it was Christine Blasey Ford or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, you know, like, I think she's credible. I think, you know, I think she's, you know, she's saying all these positive things. And then he like leaves work.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's like a guy who talks at work and then he goes to the bar afterwards. He's like, you know, he's like, guys, I think this project's great. I think our boss is smart. And he goes to the bar. It's like, that guy's an idiot. Like, right. This project, he doesn't know. He goes to the rally and talks about work. And he's just like, hey, Blasey Ford, that guy, real, you know, I wouldn't believe it. He says the complete opposite of what he says at work, not thinking that anyone can hear him outside of his own fans.
Yeah.
So Diet Coke will do to your brain.
So we don't have time to get to that story.
Yeah, so too bad
also,
we couldn't.
Yeah, too bad we couldn't talk about it. And also we don't have time to get to the beer doubling in price because of climate change.
But we'll get to that tomorrow.
We'll get to that tomorrow. Guys, this has been a lot of fun.
Wow.
Nick.
Did we solve it all?
I think we solved it. Where can people find you and follow you?
There's an underpass under the 405 that I'm just sort of.
Roscoe on the 405 North?
Yeah.
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 I see you dancing there a lot.
I dance in a complete silver suit.
Yeah.
And,
that's you. Wow. Headphones. You're the Roscoe Exit dancer.
Headphones plugged into nothing.
Yeah.
I have an album called K-Rock 90Q Point Buzz. and it is a complete, like, sort of like having fun with FM radio.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of different. Yeah. I have a stand-up album for Amusement Only, but this is sort of a little like sketch and
K-Rock 90Q Point Buzz.
And it's sort of like,
fucking love that.
That like growing up in growing up and listening to like FM radio and just all like the crazy stingers and K-Rock 90Q Point Buzz is like, it doesn't matter if I was in St. Louis growing up or Columbia, Missouri when I was, you know, college.
Did you go to
or
Mizzou?
Chicago. I went to Mizzou. Yeah.
My wife went there for med school. We lived there for a little while.
Oh, it's a great city.
Yeah.
It's a great city.
Town.
That what was theirs? I think theirs might have been K-Rock.
I don't know.
Or the Buzz. I think they were the Buzz.
No, Kansas City's the Buzz.
But it's always in someone like I love that LA is like world famous K-Rock. There's a K-Rock. There's like the most K-Rock popular. There's a K-Rock everywhere.
Yeah.
So 90Q Point, but it was, you know, it's sort of making fun of all those FM stations. So listen, I'm on whatever. All the Twitter and all that stuff, but check out that album.
All right. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Ian Abramson. Do you guys know Ian Abramson? Mm-hmm. Very funny comic, but you know, so because you know Elizabeth Warren. I don't know if we even got into that, but you know, she.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, yesterday.
You know, yeah. So she like. So I was trying to think of. I spent all day trying. Not all. You know, I wasn't. I mean, I was dancing under the overpass, you know.
Right,
but in between songs, I would think about what would be a funny DNA joke, and then he did one that I was like. Ian goes, I took a DNA test. It came back negative. I do not have DNA. And either did my ancestors, whoever they are. So I was like, that's the best DNA joke.
There it is. So he wins.
He won that round.
Miles, where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Shout out to Kirsten and George and Mouse, who I met over the weekend, who were zyking unexpectedly at this party I went to. So it was nice to meet you. Also, tweet I like from Reductress, as usual. It's a photo of this really kind-looking young man. It says, Asian woman can't tell if man has a fetish or sincerely loves Miyazaki films. Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Couple responses. I liked Burger King tweeted, you're beautiful, you're loved, you matter. Don't forget it. And low voter turnout at Jordan Yule tweeted, you pay people $8 an hour. And then WWLTV .buzz/KRock tweeted, George W. Bush playfully photobombs daughters after wedding. And L. Ron Mexico responded, even after retiring, this dude is finding ways to bomb weddings.
Oh, Jesus. I thought that was an Obama thing.
Good fun.
He did it too?
I think it happened. Yeah.
That's just a rite of passage for a president. Right. You have to bomb.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find that information in the show notes. And Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
This is a track from Dirty Art Club. We've played some of this artist's music before, but this is a track that just makes me travel to another place. And it's called I'll Meet You in Brazil. Although, you know, Brazil is also going through some stuff too politically. But, you know, I like the idea of it, okay? Mm. So don't take me literally on this. But yeah, this is a good track, you know, sample-based producer, how I like it, how I like my vibes, and I will meet you in Brazil.
All right, we are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.